Good evening, everybody. I'd like to welcome everybody back tonight. Nice to see the Parker family here with us tonight, all the way from the East Coast. I have a couple of prayer requests. Found out that Ramon has been sick since this past Wednesday with coughing and a sore throat. Also need to remember Stacy. She's homesick with a sinus infection. Hopefully, she got some antibiotics yesterday, so hopefully they'll kick in soon and she'll be back up and running soon. Let's go to God in prayer on behalf of these two before we get started in our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. Dear God, we come right now on behalf of so many of the people in our congregation that have been or are sick right now. We ask that you be with Stacy, comfort her, help the antibiotics to do their work and get her healthy again. We also ask that you be with Ramon, help him get feeling better and back to us. Dear God, be with us tonight as we look into your word. We hope that everything we have and will do is in accordance to your word and pleasing to you, and that everything is done in spirit and in truth. We pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen. We're going, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Philippians, the fourth chapter, we're going to end up our study of Philippians today about the last few months. The Sunday evenings that I've had the opportunity to bring the lesson to you, we've been looking at the book of Philippians. Probably my favorite book. If it has to be, I've studied it so many times. I love it, and I know Dick, you enjoy it, and it's got so many good messages. We're going to be picking up in verse 8 today. There are a number, kind of like we were talking this morning in Bible class about how there are sometimes a number of verses that can just stand on their own. You know, they've got legs of their own. They may be part of a bigger thought, a bigger discourse. But we're going to run across a number of verses tonight that are so powerful that literally entire lessons could be built around a verse or two. But Paul is starting to kind of wrap his thoughts up in this letter. And he says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Paul wants us to have our mind dwell on these things. If I'm not mistaken, Preston, the New American Standard says, "Let your mind dwell on these things," if I remember, in verse, at the end of verse 8 there. Think about these things. That's what Paul is telling us to focus our minds on. It is so easy to get distracted from all the things in the world. You know, we are bombarded with not only negativity, but just being busy. Just life. There's that thing called life that we have to live every day. Come what may. We still have to go to work. We still have to raise the kids. We still have to wash the dishes. You know, there's life. But Paul says, focus and meditate. Think on these things. Let your mind focus on this. And if we did that, if we did this more, how much better our life would be and how much better of an outlook we would have. And it would focus, it would kind of get us on track as a Christian better if we focused on these things instead of all those things that the world hits us right between the eyes with. Goes on to say in verse 9, this is such a powerful verse. He says, the things which you learned and received, basically that you've taken in, not just that you've been taught, but that you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. We were mentioning today about how Jesus never asked or required anything of us that he himself wasn't willing to do. We can say that about Paul also. Paul never required or told us to do something that he himself wasn't willing to do or has done. Paul was not one of those do as I say, but not as I do. You know, that's one of the worst kind of Christians we can have an example. Paul could humbly say, the things that you've heard and seen in me, you do those things. I've often wondered, can I say that? Can I tell people the things you've heard from me, the things you've seen, the attitudes I've portrayed, the things I've done, pattern yourself after that. Paul could. He loved these people, and they loved him. And I can only imagine when they were hearing this letter being read in a fellowship to the things, how their mind probably went back to the things he had taught them when he was with them, and thinking back to the things that they witnessed him do and heard him say as an example to them. Verse 10, he says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Talking about the opportunity they had to contribute to his work. And he's going to talk about it a little bit more in a few verses. And he goes on to explain in verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need. He appreciates the things that they've sent him. There's no doubt about that. But he says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. That right there, that's that peace that passes understanding. That whatever state I'm in, that he can be content. That we've talked so many times the difference between joy and peace and happiness. Happiness is based on a situation. You know, but this that Paul's talking about, whatever state I am, I'm content. And he explains to him, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. I've been on both extremes and everywhere in the middle. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And he's learned to be content in all of that. And because his focus, he just told us, focus your mind on these things. He does that. And in doing that, he can be content. And then, to my knowledge, it's going back a few years, the first scripture I think I ever remember that stood out to me was this scripture here as a teenager. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You talk about power. And it doesn't mean that I'm able to physically do whatever. I can get through whatever. I can handle whatever through Christ who strengthens me. It's not me. It's not, and Paul's saying, it's not him. It's through Christ. You look back at the things that Paul has been through. The beatings, the stonings, the whippings, the being imprisoned, the shipwrecked, you know, abandoned by people close to him. He's been through it all. But he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so can we. Goes on to say, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. That this really explains the close relationship he has with them. And that they were able, they got the benefit to share and to relieve some of Paul's earthly needs. And that's a blessing. Not only was it a blessing for him, there's no doubt it was a blessing for him. It was a blessing for them to be able to give of their means to help him. And to know that they, all the things that Paul was accomplishing, to know that they stood a little taller, we had a small part in that. They themselves weren't with Paul, but they helped Paul do those things. You know, Dick was explaining this morning about how he's going to be sending money off this Wednesday to Vilan. I look at those reports of the missionaries that we support, the work that Malcolm Parsley does in Korea. You know, hearing about all of his work, I look at the energy that Vilan puts into his work in India, the teaching, the people that he baptizes. I look at the work of our David Marub in Kenya that we help support. None of us, to my knowledge, have ever been there helping do the work, but yet we, through sending some money to help them, we have a part in that. We take a small, we have a small part in the successes that they are doing because of that. And that's what Paul is telling. That's what Paul is telling the Christians in Philippi, that when I departed from the northern Greece area where you live, nobody helped me but you. And what a credit to their account that they did. And he goes on to say, for even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. The work, Paul was going to do the work with or without it. The work would have gotten done. But he's looking at it, look at how it's helped you to have part in my work. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full. Having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Not only did they send a gift, but they sent it with the right heart and the right love. And we were kind of talking today in Bible class about that. You can have the right actions. You can teach the right words, the right doctrine. But if you have the wrong attitude, or if you deliver it wrong, you can say the right words and still lose the soul. You can win the biblical argument and lose the soul in the process. And Paul is saying those things that you, the sacrifices that you've given to me was a sweet-smelling aroma to God. It was a sacrifice. He goes on to say, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And that's what it's all about. That was the whole purpose of everything that God did, was to the glory of God the Father. And he ends this up, he says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I love that verse 22. He ends this letter similar to how he starts it back in chapter 1, if you remember, in verses about 11 and 12, where he says, all these things that I'm going through, the bad things, he's writing this from jail. He says, it's turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. It's turned out good. On the surface, it looks bad, but it's turned out good. And he says, all the saints greet you, especially those who are of Caesar's household. He has been able to preach the gospel to the guards who have been guarding him. And out of bad has come good. Excuse me. This has been, it would take you probably about 20 minutes to read Philippians. Maybe this week, now that we've wrapped it up, go back, spend some quiet time, and maybe your private devotional time this week, reread the book of Philippians. I'm sure you will catch some little nuggets that maybe you haven't before. If you run across some, come tell me, because if you find a nugget that I don't know, I want to know it. Anyway, the lesson is yours. It's been a pleasure going through the book of Philippians. If we can be of service to you for the invitation, I think everybody here that's of age is baptized believers. But if we can be of service to you through prayer, if you need to repent of sin in your life, whatever your need, please come forward while we're led in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.